saying I've been tweeted the thing I tweeted was fake. It wasn't fake. The legit thing
What
happened,
thing?
where my
What
kid
did you
saw
tweet?
me,
Yeah.
and he's I wasn't wearing a shirt. I was changing, and he's like, "Papa, is that where Dudu comes from?"
Why are they saying it's fake?
Someone said I tweeted. They're like, "Yo, that's too funny to be real." I'm like, "No, man, my kid is a legit asshole," and he. I was so friggin' taken aback. I was
My
like,
kid didn't say it
"What?"
to me, but my kid came and copped a feel as if there was something was going on there. I was like, yeah,
Like,
it's
just
time to lose
checking.
some
He's
weight.
like,
Just
just
checking.
checking. Yeah.
Dad bods aren't cool. I don't know who said they were cool. They're not cool.
They
It's not
said it was
cool.
cool because it gives women the impression that you're responsible and loyal. It means you've
To everything
set.
else but your body.
Yeah, there's, I don't know. It's just hard, man.
Man,
I'm sitting around so
it's
long,
hard.
and
It's hard, man. I'm going through the same shit, so I know how you
I
feel.
remember, I think I adopted a dad bod even before I got married, before I became a dad. So
Yeah,
it's
probably
even
me
twice
too.
as bad. I was
You
like, eh, I'm comfortable with who I am. I
know,
got a
when things
decent enough
settle in
personality.
life, you're like, that part of it's okay.
Yeah.
I want to be healthy, so that's
That's
different.
a plus. But
That that's a
now,
plus,
man,
but yeah.
even trying to get active now, I'm like, I don't want to. So I got to invite Roger. Like, yo, come for a morning run with me. I'm like, brother, I'm so fat. I don't want to go on a morning run with you. I'm gonna lose my
See,
breath, and I'm
people
gonna.
like him, I think they strive on it.
Yeah.
Like that's his he needs that. So, you know, some people are addicted to one of my
I'm like,
buddies.
I run out of breath walking up and down the stairs. I don't think I'm ready for morning runs right now. I need to just, just.
Yo, man, taking the grocery from the car to the fridge is my farmer's walk. That's as good as it gets. You know, my arms are done by the end of it, and I'm feeling a good burn. So I'm like, oh, that's a good day.
Bro,
You know.
man, what was it that happened to me that I just oh someone challenged me to do five push-ups, and
You
I
can do
after the
five
set
push-ups.
I could not do five push-ups. At the end of two,
No.
I was like, my wrist hurt, my arm hurt, my forearm hurt. I was like, I'm embarrassed by this. Holy shit, this bug's bad, but
Yo,
we're just
but
gonna live
if
with
your
it.
life depended on it, you could do five.
If my life depended on it, I could probably do five, or I could just collapse and be like, it was a good life.
It's good life.
We did what we could. I mean, sometimes I think that I'm in that weird place where I'm like, Jello, I gave it my all. See y'all next time around.
I don't know, my kids have made me more worried about everything.
I mean, I worry about cholesterol here and there, but I do that while I'm buttering my bread. You know what I mean? It's like, oh man, I should probably think twice about how much butter I just put on this.
Yeah.
Oh
Well,
well, this looks really good to eat
you
right
know, you
now.
start a new diet and by like 3 hours later you're munching on something. Well, I'll start it tomorrow. It's always
Every
tomorrow, right?
day I'm like, I'm gonna start intermittent fasting tomorrow. I wake up in the morning, take my kid, and I friggin' grab like a little snack, like a cookie that's sitting on the counter. I just start eating. I'm like, oh yeah, I wasn't supposed to eat till 12. Well, I
That's where
guess we
I
could
think that's
just.
probably the theory where the dad bod comes from, because not only are you a dad, but you're the garbage composter. You're eating all the little crumbs that your
Yeah,
kids are
I
leaving
mean,
around, or the
my
half-eaten
kid leaves a
toast,
plate.
or the you know the food that you made for them, and they're like, I don't want it now. And you're like, okay, someone has to eat it, so you eat it, right?
Yeah,
So
like I'm not gonna throw it half a good piece of toast. I put effort into
exactly.
that. I know what's in it. It's good. It's well done, and I paid for it. So fuck you. I'm eating
And
that
I, you
shit.
know, I know my kids are small, but I got them a large cheese pizza. It's not my fault they couldn't finish it, so I had to help them. You can't waste food now, can we?
I think the fattest thing I ever did, and this happened yesterday after I said I'm gonna change my ways, I took half a pizza, and it was like a homemade pizza. So I just cut it in half. I didn't cut it in slices. I cut it only in half, and I folded it on top of itself, and I ate it like one giant slice. And while I'm doing that, I'm like, I really just told Twitter I'm gonna get in shape, didn't I? But I guess that starts tomorrow.
You just made a desi calzone at home, basically, you know.
I'm kind of hoping that I still have some left over, so I could like I don't know what happened to the other half. I think my wife put it away, so I'm gonna go check the fridge. I'm
It's
gonna
in
kill
hiding.
that
They hid
other
it from
half.
you.
Yeah, it's in hiding. I don't know.
Just talking? Well, what's the show about? It's about nothing. It's about nothing.
I just want these guys to know you got another thing coming, bitch. I'm still around.
But yes, sir, how was your week?
Week's good, man. It's getting hot in Toronto, and I hate the heat, as everybody knows. So, you know,
I love the heat, man. I was sitting outside on the friggin' balcony, not balcony, but the porch.
It's 33 degrees,
I wish it could be like
man.
This every day. Yeah, but don't you just lie down there and just like chill?
No, I started thinking about when to turn on the air conditioning. That's what happens. Or open the windows, get the fans.
Our AC was on a month ago at home.
Was it? I haven't turned mine on yet.
My wife's a big AC person. She needs the temperature always at a specific thing. So any sort, and she can't deal with the heat.
Smart. I like
that. So the AC was on right away. But my parents' house, the way we grew up was the AC never goes on. It goes on in August for a week. And so I went over to their house and she's like, I legit can't be at the parents' house. They don't turn the AC on.
Yeah, it's just too hot. Yeah.
So I'm like,
well, my wife's house was, my in-laws' house was the opposite. They love to pump the heat.
Okay.
Like crazy. Even like, or the fireplace. And I can't, it's too hot.
Yeah,
cold.
I mean, me and my brother both grew up in the summer, just keeping our windows open and like going shirtless and just like no jacket, no cumble or whatever, and just like enjoying like the breeze, like the summer breeze.
The best today though. Like, I mean, talking about growing up, my kid gets in my car today. She's 4 years old. Dad, put on the AC. I'm like, do you even know what AC means, or do you just know how to say that?
Say it.
She goes, turn on the AC. I'm like, you're so privileged.
I think it's because my kid sees me sometimes just like walking around with my shirt off. He came home today and took his shirt off and he just sat there watching cartoons with his shirt off. I'm like, Joe, I guess this is what I've raised. He just realized they take up little
things
you don't even realize. Yeah.
Yeah.
But man, it feels like it's been a short week because we just recorded on last Monday and now it's Sunday and a lot's gone on.
A lot's happened in that quick conversation we had.
It's wild.
I mean, today is, we're obviously recording this on the Sunday, the 29th. Which one do you want to start with first? You go for it.
Honestly, there is not. Do we start positive and end negative, or do we start negative and just stay negative and try to turn it up positive at the end?
Start negative, start with the darkness, and then.
Just go with darkness? It doesn't get any darker than the friggin' shooting in Texas. You were just a few weeks ago.
I mean, if you haven't heard about it by now, I mean, that'd be surprising. It was quite in the news cycle. Guy goes in, you know, 18-year-old, and that's one of the main points is his age, with an AR-15, and, you know, proceeds to kill innocent children. Quite bad. I mean, I think people are reeling from this, politically, possibly, I don't know. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about that, but I mean, having just been there in Texas, and you know, it's kind of crazy, man. I don't know. I didn't know, like, it's how people are not like stopping as a nation and just saying, hey, we got to take control of this, because the kind of blasé attitude towards it. I mean, look, it's happened in the past. This is not the first time. And then I think I was mentioning it the week before, even with Buffalo, like, are we just, is the American public just desensitized where it happens 1 week and they just move on?
And I've seen a lot of tweets about people saying, well, we're not going to desensitize ourselves to this. It's always going to be on mine. We're going to really act this time. I'm like, act this time. I couldn't get over the fact, because I saw one of the comments in some tweets that I was reading was, hi, I'm a survivor from Columbine. I'm like, hold up. I remember Columbine happening on the news and thinking, wow, America's fucked up. Columbine happened like, it's so real.
We were
99.
We were in high school.
Yeah, it was grade 9 for us. Eminem, Marilyn Manson got a shit ton of blame. I remember everyone was like, it's the music's fault. They're playing the video games. And I was like, even at that time, people were blaming the video games. And I was like, what video games are we playing that are causing us wanting to shoot up a school, right? But Columbine was 99. Since then, they had like other mass shootings that come to mind were the Arizona theater shooting. Was that Arizona or North Carolina?
It was the Joker for the
The
Joker shooting.
There was the church shooting in North Carolina or something.
Yeah, Sandy Hook.
Milwaukee, Gordo, or Wisconsin. The Wisconsin
Orlando, shooting. The nightclub in Orlando. Remember the? I forgot what the name of it was. Orlando nightclub shooting. Yeah, and then there was Las Vegas, the guy who went,
one guy walked in with a friggin' sniper.
And so this is, as you can tell, this seems to, this story just keeps repeating itself, right? So it's like,
and nothing has changed. Everyone's just like, oh, well, that must have been a one-off situation. We can't really pretend. And I was talking to an American about this, or I do my best at not getting too deepen
the Second conversation. Amendment. Yeah.
No, like I'm just like, look, I'm not gonna try to step on toes here. I try to play a little politically correct here. And he was like, look, honestly, in America, people don't think twice about it. They don't fear for their safety. We don't think, like, hey, he's like, yeah, some liberals, and like he's kind of, he would consider himself a Democrat for the most part.
Yeah.
But he's like, the talking points on both the far left, far right, they don't really sway. The people in the middle really just don't care. They're like, yeah, that happened. That was horrible. And then I'm like, but you guys have people walking into grocery stores with military grade weapons and streaming it and shooting people. You have 18-year-olds in this case,
yes,
walking into a school, shooting up kids so bad that they can't even identify their bodies no more. And these aren't private schools. These aren't, you know, this could be anywhere. Like, how does this not cross your mind?
And the thing is, I mean, if they always talk about their country being a beacon in on the world stage, I mean, the fact that they really don't think, and the narrative always comes out, it's the people, it's not the guns. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just changed. So I believe they had banned assault rifles. I forgot what it was. And then I think Trump repealed those laws. And then there was laws for that you couldn't buy a gun over 21 or whatever the age might be. And that just got changed to 2021 to 18. So literally you can buy a gun, but you can't drink alcohol in the States.
It's so it's so bizarre.
You can buy an AR-15, not one, two of them, but you can't drink.
You can't freaking rent a car until you're 25. You know what I mean? It's so bizarre to me that you can.
Yeah, look, they you know, at the end of the day, nobody wants to just it has nothing to do with Second Amendment rights, right? If you look at when those laws were written, they were talking about militias within states. They weren't talking about the independent or the sole citizen having the right to bear one arm. It wasn't about that. It was about organizing and defending where you were. So the fact that now it's just like randomly everybody deserves to get a gun, okay.
But here's the thing with the guns, and I know it's going to get a little debatey here, but like Switzerland, everyone's conscripted into the army. They all own guns.
Yes.
It's like, I think they say it's the highest population per gun ratio is that country.
Okay.
But they don't have mass shootings, right?
Yep.
It's the culture and more than the gun itself. But
I wouldn't say it's just, I'm not blaming the weapon. Let's put the weapons aside, right? So it's the ability to get the weapon. It's the way it's designed as a product, from a sales perspective. Remember, these are huge companies that need to make profit. There's a lot of lobbying. That side of the corrupt side, which then in essence dictates a certain culture. Yeah. We're talking about culture, right? That they themselves are players within a culture, you know. Video games and all that's a hard one because there we have a gun culture, right? So possibly, you know, there might be kids who think that's normative, that maybe a lack of empathy if you consistently see that. You know, Call of Duty would be a good example of that, right?
But here's the thing that I would counter with that is Call of Duty is not just an American game. People across the world play Call of Duty. Call of Duty
but is huge
in Europe. It's huge.
Agreed. But is it harder to get an assault rifle in those countries?
It is, like a lot of these countries.
And that's the argument, right? I don't think there's a right answer. I think it's this balance equation. Yes, there is a certain cultural aspect of it, but there is definitely the sheer ability to get a weapon, you know? And we're not talking about like what Ranjit was going through with his gun license. We're talking about more just walking into a Walmart and picking up like a bag of milk. Mm-hmm. That notion that just give me that gun, I'll take that one on the wall and give me these 50 bullets and no questions asked, you know?
I remember I was scripting out one day when I went to the Walmart and they had like a gun rack aisle with all the different types of bullets that you can get. And I was like,
yeah,
this is so bizarre just being a Canadian coming in there because we can't even get BB guns at our Canadian Tire no more. You know what I mean? It's the weirdest.
I mean, look, there's a place for guns. I mean, with hunting and recreation, I get it. But the whole notion that you shouldn't have any kind of checks and balances based on who gets a gun, that just sounds ridiculous. Like someone has mental health issues and should not be owning. I mean, if they're not allowed to drive, you know, there's more things where they don't let people drive cars, but they can buy a gun.
And they test you. Like you have to go through a lot more.
Yeah, rigorous background checks.
And honestly, here's the thing with driver tests is if you get a certain number of demerit points, they take your license away. There is really no hesitation. Like,
exactly. You're
endangered other people.
There's rules. So, you know, I mean, look, if you put more regulations on it, that means less guns are sold. If there's less guns sold, then it means these companies make less money. I mean, just put it in that perspective, right? So the companies have, with the NRA, obviously, as their tool, are using lobbyists and swaying politicians. The fact that guys like Ted Cruz are out there talking about how, like, you know, it's not the gun and this, that's the first thing they're saying. They should be like, look, go empathize with the family. You know, that's all you have to do.
One thing that the politician said was, and they said this right away, was imagine if we had guards standing outside the school, this wouldn't have happened. And then it comes out that not only did they have the guards, they had cops there
who didn't go in.
And then
they were busy arresting the parents who were trying to get in to save their kids.
Yeah. Thoughts on that?
And there was a, I think there was a story, I might be wrong about this, where this one girl, she got arrested, got away, ran to the school still thereafter, got her kids and went to safety.
I never heard that one. I've heard some.
There's something where she was like tussling, but somehow she got in and got her kids out. But I mean, like, whatever. I mean, the idea is, can you imagine being one of those parents right now, hearing that the cops were standing outside and while your kids in a room and being parents? Like, there's a lot of people online I was talking to, and none of them are parents.
Yeah.
All right. Like, if you're a parent, there's a different degree to how you feel. You know, your kid falls, you're already on edge. Like, oh, is my kid okay? You know, you have this internal draw, if you will, or this internal reactionary mechanism built in to protect your child.
And now you're getting arrested by the same police that you're expecting to go
arrested by the police, and on top of that, hearing. You know, for those unfortunate parents who had to go such a horrible ordeal, is then hearing that your child who was murdered, the cops were standing outside waiting.
There was some weird stories that I heard. There was one where the feds came and they weren't trained to deal with the active shooter. So they send the wrong fed team, I guess. Yeah. They go in and they're like, the one guy, he yells out, anyone need help? A kid says, help. The shooter then identifies the kid and shoots him for yelling help. And everyone's like, you dumbass, you're not supposed to like encourage like the protocols. And this is what gets me. 70% of that that community's budget goes to policing. The police brag about being ready for this stuff. And this is the result. So I'm not going to single out this community and say this is the anomaly. I'm saying this is what the Republicans are... This is the future they get when they put these cops in schools, let alone that this doesn't cross your mind that, hey, where else do we have a cop, armed guards, not, you know, prisons. You're turning schools literally into prisons with armed guards to protect.
Trump, the idiot, what did he say? Make sure there's heavy metals and they lock from the inside. And you're like, that's a prison. What's like... Look, at the end of the day, if you're a gun-toting nation and you know these situations have been arising for many, many years, how are you not trained on this? How does every school locality did not have some kind of program or set in place? If this happens, this is exactly what we're going to do. It doesn't matter if the feds are there. Doesn't matter who's there. You know, if there's an active shooter in a school, this is what happens. And if the public knew, you know, you go there. The problem is that guy or any of these shooters who usually go into these places, they're ready to die.
No, but I'm going to take something back because you said, why don't they do schools even here in Canada where we don't have that same, we have active shooting drills. The police there were bragging about their readiness for an active shooter. The thing is there's a difference between drilling for this stuff and dealing with
and actually doing it.
Just because you drilled for it and you're ready to deal with it doesn't mean you're ready to deal with it when this shit happens. And let alone the fact that we're even at the point that we have to be ready to deal with this constantly.
But that's what I mean. My side of it is just that if you're so saying, well, guns are not the problem,
then why do you have to prep this so happy, then
be ready for it? That's what I'm just saying. If you know that's part of the element and that's part of the, you know, that's what's going to happen, your program, you should be ready for it. There should be no like pausing, you know, and you know what the thing is, like the public should know, oh, you never go into a school with a gun because they'll murder you. Like there should be inherent fear. Right?
I mean, in my opinion, it should be that it doesn't even cross your mind. Like, why do we have to drill for and be ready for the situation based on like the fact that you have to be ready for this shows like this
culture.
Whole no, but I
think that's
the hole in the culture that they need to acknowledge exists, that we have to be afraid of some guy coming in. And I don't know. It's such a backwards way of thinking. And then I know on the sicky
side of things, becomes, people it's get basically, really... basically, there's a two-sided question. Do we need a society where everybody needs to be armed? Or do we want a society where there's no reason to be armed? Right? The gray area is in between. That's where everybody's fighting.
So I'm okay.
I think a majority of the world want to live in a peaceful world where they don't need weapons, mm-hmm. right? Or they would assume the system's in place, the culture in place, and we call them safe zones, safe countries, safe cities, based on that. And the other side always says, well, you need to protect yourself. You never know. And I have the right to protect myself. And it's like, that's the culture. Right. And a lot of these guys who like guns and weapons and whatever you want to call them, they love weapons. They just like it.
I mean,
and you question them, what do you want to do with it? Their intention is, well, nothing. I just love guns. I'm like, well, the purpose of this, you know, weapon is to harm someone else, right? I mean, protect, you know.
See, this is where I disagree, because I know people who collect swords, and it's like, well, why do you need to collect so many swords? It's like, well, they're artists, they and I like them.
But are they actively using them? You know, are they going to staging areas and having real sword battles and carrying them into grocery stores? And you know, do you have signs everywhere saying, oh, you know, please don't conceal your sword? Like, there's a problem in that country. You know, collecting swords and collectibles is a bit different than actively training with, you know, if I was outside in the middle of Beauvais airport every weekend with a samurai sword, someone's going to call the cops on me. If I'm just sitting there planning and chasing people down the street, you know, like, it's a sword at the end of the day, it's a weapon, right? It's the intention. What are you using it for? Now, if you're collecting it, it's different, in my opinion, right? You're not collecting it to use it. Whereas people who own guns in the States keep them as a defense to maybe... They're not going to use it, but the idea is, if I have to use it, I can.
Yeah.
Right.
See, I'm not.
So that's the difference between, in my mind, at least, between collection and.
But even for me, there is like, if you want to be safe with a gun, that's cool. But if you're an 18-year-old and you're walking into a gun store, you shouldn't be able to just pick up a military grade AR. Yes. You know, are you military trained? Have you been through all the drills and like that stuff? And I'm not saying that that's going to solve all their problems, because someone could go through the military, have PTSD. Like, I don't know, like, if that's going to curtail all the gun crime, right? But definitely better checks and balances would go a long way from what they have now. And then I think you have the other extreme, where now people are like, well, that's exactly why Canada is doing things right. But we still do have gun violence here,
even though we have
these laws, right?
We have the influx of guns. I mean, Australia is always a good example when they had a shooter. And Scotland's a good example. They had a school shooting in the early 90s, and there's been no other shooting ever since, shooting.
It was Norway. Norway had this huge mass shooting.
Oslo, right? Yes.
And when I was like, look, they were so underarmed there that even the police didn't have the resources to respond.
That's one unfortunate thing. And you can point at all these countries and say, well, yeah, this is not, like, we're talking about Texas. I mean, Buffalo was only a week ago.
Yeah.
And what was before that? There was something else in Cali or something. I mean, this is an inherent problem. And then someone was questioning, I think it was Manu Raja from CNN. Was it Manu? No, no, it wasn't. Sorry, my apologies. It was a gentleman from Sky News, and he's going up to one of these. I think he goes up to Ted Cruz, and he's asking about him, like, you know, why is it this country? It's only this country. And, you know, Ted Cruz trying to deflect, and he's like, no, it's only an American problem. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's a made in America.
And, you know, Ted Cruz turns around, oh, if you don't like America, blah, blah, blah. But he goes, like, this part's the ugly part of your country. Yeah. You know, it's an American problem. And that's what they are kind of taking as mass shootings in schools, in public places, is an American problem on the world stage due to their affection or their love with the gun. And they can love guns, but man, like, you live in one of the best countries in the world, obviously. Why can't you get this organized?
What's weird imagine going, like, so we're at the point where we're looking for, where do we want to send our kid to school? Like, we're looking at the various Montessori's, private schools, etc. A consideration that happens in America that I don't think I would even ever consider is asking them, so how are you prepared for shooters? How many guards do you have? What's their qualification? And I saw that someone was like, well, my kid goes to this school where they have an ex-Marine who killed five people. He's ready to shoot people. I'm like, the fact that you, in your school brochures, have to have a little section on who our security personnel is and what their training is, that's such a wild concept to me that we even got there.
Our school. I mean, the whole point is we send our children to school, assuming they're safe.
And
right. And there's kids. I forgot what it was. There's some quote where they said one of the kids doesn't want to go back to school ever again.
Yeah.
You blame them?
Yeah. I mean.
Look. I mean, are we saying schools are safe? Do teachers feel safe?
I mean, teachers are already underpaid as it is, and one of the solutions that a lot of people are saying is they need to be. We need to arm the teachers. I'm like, that does not. You don't. Then where teacher do they get training
from? The teacher is not an armed babysitter for your child. They're there to teach.
Yeah.
Let them do their job. Pay them effectively for their job, but let them do their job.
But it's also the notion, and this is where I empathize with the police, police aren't mentally equipped to deal with active shooters or being shot at. They don't, I mean, we expect police to be there to, like, when a cop's doesn't go to work hoping that they face a shooter, you know what I mean? So when they do face these high stress situations, they're human beings. They do crack under these situations.
No,
so to put all this onus on them to...
No, I don't know about onus and say blaming them for that. I mean, that's human nature, but you hope that someone in their command is a leader.
Yeah.
And who has been through some kind of situation and can acknowledge when things are going kind of astray and able to bring that shit back. I mean, the military has people like that, you know, I mean, and these things, no one's saying it's going to be perfect. Right. But
it's
in a country where it's so in a country where it happens so often, you think
they could be better
from training to discussion to continue. Like I have to do continuing education. Yeah. I am curious in how much continuing educations they have or how much situations they get put into to retrain those senses. And, you know, that's the question. You know, if you want to be on one side, this gun toting country where everybody can have a weapon, then the training of the police officers, which you're saying, you know, they're fully for the police. Thank the first responders, give them the tools too. And if those tools include, training and further knowledge, then why not? I don't get it. In Toronto, like there's been a string of carjackings and I don't understand that, you know, and then the cops are trying to, these are teenagers with guns. There's a problem. Mm-hmm. Let's attack where the guns are coming from. Right. Let's go after the people who are selling these vehicles. It's clearly I don't know anything about this. This is just me as a citizen talking, but surely there's someone who's going through this and trying to figure things out so it stops. In America, shooting happens on mental health.
Yeah.
It's just mental health. We can't stop it. Okay, so maybe stop the people with those situations, stop them from actually buying guns. Oh no, you can't do that. That's a right.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. Talking about shootings though, we had like an unfortunate passing of a prominent or it seemingly the entire industry.
I think, he was the leader at this point in terms of music scene, of his type of music scene, at least.
And again, it was gun violence that ended his career today. Sidhu Moosewale, as he goes by, was his stage name. I'll be fully honest, not a huge fan. Like, I don't consider myself a hitter. It's not that I hated his style of music. It's just not something I played a lot of. The news was shocking. I guess it's always shocking when you find someone of prominence passing away.
Yeah,
like, oh well, that person was bigger than life. He was shot up in the passenger side drive-by shooting. A big gang from took the Goldie Brar Lawrence something gang took credit for it.
Who knows what the story is around
that? I've been hearing a lot about extortion being a thing in the music industry. A lot of musicians getting extorted for money and a lot not paying because not taking the threat seriously. I don't know if this is one of those situations. We'll find out more, I guess.
Well, going back to his, why? Really sad, obviously. I mean, I feel for his family more than anything. I mean, firstly, you mentioned you're not a fan. That's okay. But I mean, I think we still have to respect that he single-handedly changed the way Punjabi music is in today and the sound of it, the kind of rap style he was doing. He kind of changed that. So, in terms of his skill, his talent, I think it was just being realized, right? So he had basically changed the industry. So from that standpoint, huge loss for his fans. I think in the nature he was killed is shocking. you know, lack of a security detail and gets gunned down, you know. And then I think the third is the mystery surrounding it, like you mentioned, who's responsible, why, you know, this is the question to me, like, why, what could there possibly be? Because we all knew he wasn't a real gangster. I mean, this, you know, these Punjabi singers are singing about being gangsters. They're not gangsters at all, right? So the question is why? Yeah, possibly was it extortion? Was it something else? Was it politically motivated? I just think it's going to be one of those things that just kind of we never get an answer to. And hopefully we do. Hopefully the people that need to be prosecuted are. But yeah, man, I mean, today I was, it was weird. It's like it happened. You're kind of like, oh, okay. Sad, and then it starts to realize, man, this guy's been, you know, he's had a lot of hits and music that I've been listening to, and he, you know, guys like, you know, everyone's, you know, loving Karan Aujla now, and the way he sings, well, it's kind of Sidhu's, that whole, you know, it's not trap, but it's not Punjabi music, and the way he was singing kind of made a subgenre in Bhangra music. And you know, even Drake of all people today, you know, said RIP and posted a picture of him as mom. I mean, he was known worldwide, right? I mean, it wasn't, it didn't like really, he was just in our community.
That Drake knew who he was, because I remember hearing rumors that Drake and him were working on collabing at some point.
Yeah.
So the Drake thing was a cool shout out. The thing about, you know, everyone recognized that he wasn't a real gangster and he's just, but see, that's when I kind of start. I'm like, well, if regardless of whether or not you're a real gangster or not gangster, if you embody that lifestyle, or if you manifest that in your lyrics and your stories and your world, like, this happens in real hip-hop, this happens in all types of things. Like, if you went around in high school acting like a gangster, all of a sudden you found yourself in some shitty situations, you know what I mean? Yeah. You could be a nerd, but if you're talking and acting tough and acting like a gangster, the tough guys kind of tend to, like, you manifest that world around you to some degree.
But there's an allure to that world, right? We all grew up with it. We all grew up listening to 90s hip hop.
And I still listen to 90s hip hop, but at the same time, I recognize, you know what, son, you're not a gangster. Let's not go around.
But some of them, some of our colleagues or people in our community still think they're living that life.
But
even though they live in Brampton,
what happens to them though? Look at what's going on to them. Like, they get up. They're the ones still.
No, I'm not even talking about like the actual people trying to get in trouble, but I'm just talking about the culture, the way they talk, the way they dress. You know, that's had such a profound effect. And he was supposedly he was listening to Tupac, and that was one of his main, you know, inspirations, if you will. So, I mean, I think if, you know, yeah, I do agree, you know, if you are living that life and you're talking about guns and all that, it's quite sad. That's the thing that kind of got him. But I really don't think he, you know, I might be wrong, but it didn't seem like he was on about that life. Like, he wasn't this big gangster. I mean, he was a Sheraton college student, you know.
Yeah. If he was this big gangster. Brampton looks pretty crazy, right? The Brampton, like, he got his start while being a student in Brampton.
Student, yeah, you know, and
you know, his talent got found, and he hooked up with local producers, and they,
yeah, and it's like, look, it's like any rapper, right? Half these rappers are talking about dealing drugs. They're not dealing drugs.
But there's a certain, like, a lot of times when I hear like a Punjabi rapper coming up and he's talking about like his drug, I'm like, brother, you need to find and be honest to yourself, because if you're not honest to yourself, you're gonna.
But also, we as a community are idiots for thinking that's cool. You know, remember, they're singing stuff that we think is cool, and it stems from the fact that we do like hip hop. You know, and that's all he did.
Hip hop, you know, doesn't, to me, mean you got to talk about being a gangster. It doesn't mean, hey, I got to only talk about these lyrics. In hip hop, we have backpack rappers, like hip hop, who didn't come up as gangsters, didn't sell coke, but they're rappers and they make good music. You know, you do have rappers who went through hard times, they grew up in the projects, and they tell different stories. But those rappers and the ones who kind of went through it and experienced it, they're equipped for what goes with that lifestyle because they've been through it. You know what I mean?
Fair enough. I mean,
starts talking tough and starts talking about gangsters and guns, eventually at some point someone's going to check him.
So what you're saying is that, you know, that talk of that life's going to catch up with him, and maybe that's
always catches. Someone's always going to check.
So maybe that's true, but I think his intention from singing the way he did, or maybe changing the genre, if you will, was more to, like, it just sounded good. I mean, I don't think it was from a.
But you can sound good and not lie. is what I'm trying to instill.
Agreed. No, I agree with you. I'm 100% on your side on this. I'm just saying from, you know, from a diagnostic standpoint, standing back and seeing what happened. I just don't think he was really about that life. And it's very unfortunate that's what caught up with him, like you said. You know, I think he was an only child and his mom and his parents. It's just, it's a very sad, you know, situation. And the thing is this, so the next big talk's been about his security detail and the government pulling security details and how this list was supposed to be secret. My whole thing with that is, why the hell did he not have his own private security? Why was he even relying on the government? Mm-hmm. I don't care who pulled what. He was a prominent star. He had enough money. This guy should have never been alone. And when you hear about how he was killed in the village and everything that happened, someone was in on this. This is not him at some public event, you know, singing a song and someone had planned an assassination. You know, he was driving. This is planned. This is not
It's always someone in your own camp in these kind of situations.
100%. That's where the snakes are, right? The snakes always live in your house. I mean, guaranteed that's what happened to this guy. So it wasn't some random shooting, you know, where someone had planned to get him. It's more like this was an assassination or obviously a murder, but it's clearly internal. That's the way I looked at it. And that's what's so sad, right? It's clearly someone from his crew. Right.
That did this. Kind of astounding to me is, so we saw the names that came up, and when the Kabaddi star, he got shot up and killed, they linked who they thought the heads of that organization were that were organizing it and why. What kind of astounds me about it is, so they recognize who these gangsters are that might be responsible for it, that have claimed response, which is that claim, someone claiming responsibility.
Yeah, that's why it was like a terrorist
org. It's kind of like weird to me. Yeah. So I was like, okay, that's a bit of a flag there. But now as a community, we know we have gangsters that are willing to take people we prize away from us.
Yep.
Should we not as a community look at, hold on, how is it that we've are allowing these people to coexist with us? Like, why are we not calling them out? Why are we not?
Because they live in our community. They live in our community. They're surrounded by us. There's certain industries that our community thrive in. And we know we're, you know, are prominent in certain illicit activities. I mean, we're in a stage, I think, this is me personally speaking, I'm not speaking for other people. I mean, I think we're in the stage of society, or at least within our community, where we're so obsessed with materialistic objects and wealth and money that morality and our morals have taken a backseat, you know, helping each other out, doing the right thing. It's all about the dollar now, right? Get it how you can. Doesn't matter who you got to step on throats. And not just our community. I'm talking about worldwide, right? You know, and it's to a point where, like, we're talking about this music. What are these guys really, when they're talking about drug dealing and they're talking about guns and shooting people, who are they obviously writing these anthems for, right? Mm-hmm. It's only making their lives look even better. The ones we're supposed to be saying, hey, you know what, that's not right. You know, it's making gangsters look better. So, I mean, it's a weird, we're in a weird stage. And that's the way I look at it, right? You're like, you're sitting there like there's Bhangra songs about cocaine now. And you're like, what? You know, and auntie and dancing to it at wedding parties, and you're kind of like, what? Wait, I don't, you know, what's going on here?
Sometimes
you can let it get to you, or you join and dance to, like I do, you just start dancing.
But then all of a sudden we have, you know, a cocaine epidemic, or like a coke epidemic, and then we have like a shooting and gangster epidemic going on in our community, and all of a sudden we're like, oh. And it's not, I'm not trying to say, well, the music caused the epidemic to rise, but at the same time, we're glorifying elements.
We glorify it.
But so this is where the conversation gets tricky, because I'm not trying to say the music and the glorification itself created this underbelly. But at the same time, the fact that we've normalized this behavior within our community and we're not calling it out, like, okay, yeah, we do. There are people who are doing a lot of coke. Hold on. That's not cool. Who's doing this coke? Why are we not, like, you know, the older, like the picking this up and saying, no, fuck this. You guys shouldn't be talking. It's not that you shouldn't be talking about this. If this is going on, let's stop the actions that you're talking about. Because obviously,
I agree, but I mean, we're in this kind of stage as a community where we're trying to really figure out who we are. Mm-hmm. You know, there's one side we say we're Punjabi, one side we say we're a Sikh community. There's two communities, right? And the rules for each of those communities are very different, right? They are, because we do obviously, we unify when it matters, but the rules aside are very different. And so, you know, things, let's say in our great, in our grandfather's generation, let's go back. Let's just take it, you know, 50, 60 years ago, you know, getting pissed drunk wasn't a normal thing. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't a normal thing to do at your daughter's birthday.
Yeah.
You know, our detraction from our religion and our faith and working within that faith, that's much more prominent now. People have stepped away. They act like they are, but they have no ties to the faith whatsoever. So your guidance in your community, we don't listen to our community leaders. My summation of that, and I'm saying this about myself too, so I'm not criticizing anybody, is we really are trying to figure out who we are. And if you know, if you're trying to figure out who you are, there are going to be people like we're talking about, you know, cokeheads and this and that, where it's just what everybody's doing, you know. So yeah. It's because one of those things, like, that's not an important thing anymore, right? But we do shame it though, which is funny about our community, you know.
But we shame at the same time. We're dancing and celebrating and like, huh, I'm in a charaki
loki. Yeah, yeah.
Ah, and then at the same time, you're like, hold on. Why are you celebrating that? That's, you should Why be like shaming someone. But,
you know, well, you're celebrating the man's car. You're celebrating, you know, his big house. But the minute you find out, you know, how he got it, oh, he's a drug dealer, right? It doesn't matter. It's cool, but he's a drug dealer, right? So, I mean, and even the drug dealers in our community and the people in that game or in gang, you know, illicit activities, they want respect. It's such mm-hmm. a weird duality. You think they would be like, oh, I'm not about that world. I'm going to just get my money in and move on. But they still want to be intertwined with the community and want acceptance and respect and
I think everything that comes with it. We fail is
we yeah, we don't call them on and say, people, hey, yeah, you're
the one destroying our community. And I'm not saying the musicians, I'm saying the people, like the gangsters, the drug dealers. The fact that we know who they are and we're kind of like, we should be ostracizing these people to the point that they're uncomfortable letting people know that this is what they do. Being a drug dealer, being a gangster should be something of shame within our community.
It should be something of shame, but that's my question. Where does that come back from? Is it a cultural thing where we think it's cool still? You know, at least we don't think it's cool, but we're like, oh, that's pretty normal. You know, there's these people. Like, are we kind of becoming desensitized by it all, right? I mean, when we're talking as parents, you know, I look at my kids, I'm like, yeah, what am I going to teach who they are? You know, and you can force everything you want to down their throat.
They're
still going to make their own decisions, right? And so my whole thing is, how do I give them enough tools to figure that out? But, you know, I always, at least with myself, you know, there's things that I regret or I've said or I've done or anyone has, and that's human, being human, but I always have a compass of what's right and what's good.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where, like, when someone, you know, you always know what's right and wrong at the end of the day. We've been taught that. It's ingrained in us. So it's funny how people live within the gray. That's the way I would define it, right? They're nonchalant.
Another interesting thing that I've kind of saw coming out of a lot of the, you know, obviously you get a lot of sadness from a lot of people, but, and this happened with Deep Sidhu too, that kind of, and I don't know how to navigate this topic without sounding like a hater, because someone called, they're like, why are you such a hater? I'm like, I'm not trying to hate. But what happens is when someone dies like this, all of a sudden, it's like, well, he was bringing the youth to the right side. He was righteously leading in the government. And you get conspiracies. The government saw what the power and influence he had, and they got scared. So they, you know, took him out. And then I'm thinking, I'm like, look, this guy literally ran in an election less than 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he had the same voice and same platform then, and he got beat pretty bad. And now they're associating him with, well, he was going to run for Shiromani Akali Dal Man, and that's what scared the institution, because, you know, he's such a... I'm like,
that's a lot of theory in 6 hours instead of 12 hours. Since
yeah,
the
news but I'm like...
Death. You know,
but different groups.
It's not your groups. It's Indian news agencies as well. The stories they're pumping out about this is like, okay, whoa, you know, let's the police do their work first.
You've already come to conclusions. I think that's one of the fears, is they're like, well, the police are done their work. Like, whatever, we arrest people, we're good. I think we're the...
So are you saying you have a problem with him already being idolized and deified into this godlike figure, or is that...
So I've had that problem a lot of times in its Punjabi culture, and everyone, when someone dies, you only see the good and you whitewash everything. around them, right? But it's kind of sometimes the conspiracy theories are so absurd to me, because less than 4 or 5 months ago, the same people today who was saying he was going to bring people into Sikhi, I'm like, you guys were literally calling him a tout because he was running for Congress. You know what I mean? And but now all of a sudden, well, he switched parties.
We're all fickle though when it comes to that stuff.
But now they're like, well, he's going to run for Mon, and that was what they were afraid of, is they were going to, like, Mon barely got like less than 1% of the popular vote. So not only is it a fringe party, the candidate is someone who, when he ran for a major party, got beat pretty bad. So I'm like, the stats for him to actually make a political difference weren't that promising. But the fact that we're willing to ignore this stuff
I think the way I would look from it, forget the politics. I mean, that's a whole nother side of it. I think he did have an ear, or his voice did get to connect to the ears of the youth. I forgot the term for that. But so I think in that respect, he is going to be kind of become a legend, you know. I mean, there is a whole generation in Brampton and students and all that. They love the hell out of him.
And I'm not taking any of that away. Musically, and all that, 100% adore what he did. Idolize him for changing the genre, creating a genre, being the Biggie Smalls of that genre. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But there's going to be some messages that kind of resonate, if you will, with that. You know, like Tupac didn't sing about rainbows and sunshine all the time, but there's messages in his lyrics that, you know, that have evolved into something else, and it evolved into meaning. So, like I said, I don't know about the political side. I really don't care about the Indian politics side of it, but I do think he is going to be, at least for this generation, for a lot of minds, he's going to kind of become like Tupac like figure for them, at least, because you know, the one thing you hear them say, oh, he's speaking the truth, he speaks his mind, he doesn't care, he says what he wants to say, and that they respected him for it, right? So that kind of persona, if you will be kind of immortalized, it if you will, if that's the word. Yeah, but I agree with you. I mean, yeah, you can't, the first thing you do is that they're the greatest person and they're going to change this for Sikhi. That's just a whole side that always, that conversation pops up every time. Haven't you noticed that?
Yeah, it's one of those weird
things. It's just a conversation to be like, this has nothing to do with his legacy. And his legacy, well, look, if there's someone listening and it emboldened them to feel like they could speak the truth or speak their mind, and, you know, just like you hear lyrics of Tupac and you're listening and you're like, all right, this, well, his whole catalog of music was not the greatest in terms of being a good person. Tupac, he was talking about killing people as well, but there's messages in there that have resonated with some of us. So maybe for this generation, the youth that really carried his music, maybe it's the same way. But politically and the other stuff, could care less. That's just my opinion. I think those people are just ready to talk about something every time something like this happens. Oh, this is why, this is why, this is why. I think his long-lasting touch will be musically, musically for a person, right? So,
And I don't know, sometimes maybe it's just grief, where that's how people deal with grief is. And we do this with not just celebrities. Yeah. We do this with family members. And it's something that's kind of working with family members. Like,
our grieving process is very weird. I've always found it weird in the Indian community, you know, screaming, Minnuki hoga, Minnuki hoga, Sanuki hoga, or, you know, like, you know, the person passed away, you know, your life's not over, right? So,
For me, it's always like we get really dishonest in remembering and forgetting certain aspects of people when they pass away.
Which is good too, right? That's not all a bad thing, you know?
But I'm saying, look, I don't know. It's always, can you imagine, whitewash people. I want I remember going to someone's funeral, and oddly enough, I've been to a lot, but sometimes you go in the prison and they're like, and it's such kind of jana, and I keep the both seva, I'm like, they didn't do an ounce of seva. They were super problematic in life.
Note to self, don't invite Shinda to my funeral.
I was like sitting there, I'm like, you guys are really just whitewashing them and saying, and some of these things irk me, and they're like,
honasi. But yo, those things are said to provide some, not even empathy, to provide some healing to the family as well.
Right? I almost feel like I need to put it in my will saying, listen, I was a scumbag, and speak the truth. At my wedding, or at my, it is kind of a wedding in our religion too.
Yeah, it is a wedding. Yeah.
But you need to acknowledge that he was not perfect, and very likely he's going to be doing Chidasi Lakju, and he's coming back a few times here, right? You know, this isn't the end all. And because what irks me is I know guys who legit were saints. And I'm like, how are you guys lumping this person and this person the same? Because they were pretty different. And I think a lot of times, and this probably goes for like...
That's become the speech though, isn't it? That's just the thing we say in these times of he will be missed or she was this and she was
that. You can miss him. But let's not say Sachkhand Honjauga, Jarur Jauga, and Seva both kiti this, that. That's where I
come. That is above my pay grade, so I believe that to you.
And I don't know why people say, well, you're just a hater. You need to let it. I'm like, okay, look, I'm not going to go to someone's funeral and protest.
Here's a question that I had. Should we be saying rest in peace?
I've always been against saying rest in peace.
I'm just wondering about that. I saw that today. I'm like, well, we don't really say that.
Rest. You know, no, because I've said
that. But has it become so normative? Is it so normative for us to say now?
It's so normative, and it annoys the hell out of me because I'm like, by saying that, you're ignoring our own cultural philosophy on what this means, and you're ignoring how we express death. And I think, and this is where I think it really bugs me, is I think the way Sikhi expresses death is beautiful, and so much that it's not a heaven or hell. It's you tried your best, try again later. Tried your best, try. Yeah. But the fact that we adopted this Christian way of thinking makes me think we're almost erasing a portion of our belief system.
I think if you broke it down to what do they call non-practicing Sikh, whatever that means. if you broke it down to someone saying, this is what Christianity believes, this is what Islam believes, this is what Sikhi says, they'd be like, no, I don't believe in that stuff, right? If you just even have a basic understanding,
but it's
you'd
just be like, no, I believe in... matters, I think, right?
Like, it's just we use the wrong language. Oh, no, rest in peace, rest in... You know, I think rest in peace is just become something you say. I was watching like shit. Yeah, we all say... I just thought it was curious because I saw it so much time. Like, should we really be saying
rest in peace? I've thought about this for a long time because it's really bothered me. So I'm from a while now, I've adopted saying... I don't say rest in peace, I said check you later.
Ah, nice.
All right. Okay. See you. It's like, it's that whole Bone Thugs Crossroads thing. See you when I see you, man. Till we meet again or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get too deep in like philosophy on what death means in Sikhi, where we like got it wrong. I just think we've adopted so many white terms in the way we grieve and express death that
in
our religion was always something that was considered. The fact that death was described as a marriage, it was something you look forward to because it's going to happen. And now we've turned it into something we fear.
So my the way I've grown up or the lessons I've been taught that death was guaranteed.
It's 100%. Right? I mean, we've all
it's a guarantee. All faith. It's all all faiths believe that, but it's death's a guarantee. It's a transition.
Yeah.
From this form into something else. Now there's the arguments start, right? I'm just saying you're done. This
chapter is finished. And it's a transition, right? But we have a word when people pass away, when our elders said, ki hoya o mare ni o pure hoge.
Pure hoge, yeah.
Pure hoge, that's a completely different meaning than it's they completed. And that's a positive, you know what I mean?
Like in a positive way.
Pure hoge. They completed the journey.
In English, they've passed on. And that be another.
But I don't think that's the same thing. Saying someone pura ho gaya, whatever they came here to do, ho gaya on.
They've completed it. Is that what you're saying?
We converted death, which in our culture, from and the way Guru Sahib passed it on to us, from being something that was positive and not to be feared, into a negative that we've become fearing because we fear what's negative, right? And I think that's a disservice to Sikhi in itself that we've committed.
I mean, I think we were taught how to deal with that, right? I think the religion taught you how to not fear it or give you some meaning to it. And we've kind of reverted back and
not understand. We've adopted these Western wording and philosophies that take away from some of that.
Look, fear of dying. So from my perspective, right, I've never grown up with a fear of actually dying. I mean, everyone has fear, a fear of being hurt, a fear of harm. Those are normal things. But the actual ending of my life at any minute, it was never a fear for me. I just didn't grow up with that. Because my dad very instilled in me, like, you don't know when your next day is and you don't decide that anyways, right? So it is what it is. But ever since having kids, though.
Kids is a different thing.
I do fear it, not for me. So my fear is not related to me. My fear is related to my children and the essence of what's going to happen to them. You know, what's their future going to happen if I am not around? So that's where that's my fear. It's not me leaving. If they go, yo, this was your life, I don't sit here and say, oh man, I can't wait till I'm 55 and, you know, I get to chill and I want to travel. I've done a lot, more than most people already have, right? So from that perspective, you know, if it's 10 years, 20 years tomorrow, personally, I will be, it is what it is. That was never for me to control. But yeah, for my children, that when you see your kid and you start thinking, that's the fear that starts, you know, and you know, when you hear like, someone does a carjacking or hostage is doing, the guy always says, I have kids. The guy always says in movies, I have kids. I have kids.
But, okay, hold on.
You know,
two things.
No, but that's my feeling. I'm like, I need to be around. It has nothing to do with me. That's the way I take it, at least. Maybe your perspective is different. Tell me your perspective.
So 100% agree with you on the kids changing my... Personally, me leaving, I don't have a fear of what happens next. That I have no control over. I'm content with that. My fear is always that I've adopted after kids was... And I got to work through it. This is something that Siki talks about, Mohan and Nijay, that like, you got to trust Hokum will take care of them and Gurusab will take care of them too. But it's kind of like, well, I haven't done this for them. I haven't saved enough money for them yet. I haven't gotten their education set for them yet. For me, it's never been, oh, I got to see their wedding. No, it's like, well, I haven't taught them how to do this. I haven't taught them how to fight yet. I haven't taught them how to decipher someone conning them versus left, right. Like there's so many things I'm like, I haven't taught them these things yet that I'm supposed to teach them. So the real stuff does exist. That does exist for me too. And I'm far from figuring out that, like making peace with that. The other thing you said where, you know, in TV shows and stuff, I think they do that well. Cause my wife was telling me, she's like, if you're ever in a gun hostage situation, the thing that they're trained to do and they train you to do is try to give enough of your life information that you're no longer just a cog. Hey, empathy. I have three kids. I have things to give them something they can, and try to give enough of it that they can snag a little bit. So if you tell them, hey, I have kids and I'm broke and I got to do this and my mom's sick, please just give me a second. You know, just giving them a little bit of information.
You think they have empathy, but these scumbags usually don't. So.
I mean, some of these guys don't. Some of these guys walking into the schools and the grocery stores, they're not going to listen. But
a carjacking maybe.
It's just a little bit of, I have nothing right now. Here's my hook that I'm going to try and pitch you. And it's try to give them as much information as you can.
That's actually a good point. I've never looked at it that way, but you're right. Yeah, I never thought of it that way, you know, trying to save. But my when I hear that and what resonates with me, I'm like, yeah, goddamn, I got kids. I got a lot more to do, right? So
And sometimes it's not even saying you have kids because like a shooter might not be able to relate what that means. It's, hey, my mom, my dad needs this, or they're sick, or... And I need a...
I mean, this last guy shot his grandma, so I don't think he was...
I mean, this guy's just pure evil. He's just pure evil.
He was evil.
He's evil. A demon, right?
Yeah.
And demons should not be able to just walk into a gun store and buy guns is legit. Where it comes down to at the end, fuck. Yeah. I don't know. We have one more topic we want to talk about. I kind of bummed out enough. I don't even want to give these guys any more attention than they've gotten. So fuck these guys. Obi-Wan Kenobi. Have you watched Obi-Wan Kenobi?
I have watched the first two shows, and I know Randy's already probably listening to this reeling because he hasn't been able to speak. By the way, he's in California finishing that hair transplant. If anybody's wondering this week where he is, he's currently being held in the airport. Hopefully,
you know what's funny is we're going to have this exact conversation again next week because Randy's so deep into the music scene and the gang scene and
I think
politics scene. He's going to bring this up again.
I think he's going to bring a much more
nuanced
analytical view of it, whereas we did the reactionary view today. You know, first thoughts, if you will, but we'll let him be the analytical side of it. But Obi-Wan, man, I right off the bat blown away, but you had problems with other Disney shows, so I'm gonna let you tell your thoughts. So
all right, so I did have thoughts on this, and I'm gonna be honest, keep it 100% with you, best Disney show to date.
This isn't
a TV show. This is a mini movie. They took the budget and the writing and the acting quality of a movie, made it long, gave it an episodic feel. I love this thing. I'm so hooked. They did it right by Obi-Wan Kenobi.
This is good. We're gonna actually have something to talk about now.
Look, I love the Obi-Wan canon, right? So much so that I even read that fucking Obi-Wan book, which is a textbook of him living in a desert. And his trials
for 10 years
growing old, right? No, long. Yeah. And so when I got into this, it's not so much I expected a lot from it. I just didn't want to butcher one of their main characters from their movies because their movies were so well done. And you fear that if you make
the old movies were well done.
The Disney movies were well done too. People shit on them to a degree.
They ruined that story. Anyways, let's focus on Obi-Wan. Sorry.
So just because they did it right. They didn't spare the expenses and try to cut corners and pick a shitty destination, a shitty setting, and like really like low budget it, like they did Boba Fett. Man never got out of the desert. They're like, look, we can only shoot in Las Vegas. It's the only permit we got. What can we do?
It was supposed to be a high budget show. It was a good time pass.
Boba Fett is such a big show, big character in the canon.
He is not a big character. He had four lines in the entire movies. He said four things. He's just a big...
No, but like they filled him up in the... They filled him in...
He's a cultural phenomenon. People caught on. There's a whole episode on Disney Plus about Boba Fett and how he had an impact on culture without saying any lines. So he's not a major character. He was made by a major character by the fans and now they're upset. So...
His dad was a template for all the clones. I mean... right? He's supposed to be one of the greatest bounty... I don't know. I think... Okay... Big character, small character, irrelevant. The fact that the show sucked and the writing sucked on it was enough to...
Okay, fair enough. Right? Fair enough. I'm going to just give it to you.
That's fine. The writing was good on this. The quality of the production was good on it. The dude, the girl playing Layla, great freaking casting.
So good.
I can already tell she's going to be a child star, right? Like, you can tell, like...
Oh, man, yeah. She's a great actress. It's she's acting, you know? Yeah. Normally when it's a child, they're just being a child. No, she's acting. But from the writing perspective, what I loved so far, it's only been two episodes, obviously, is that what I think they're actually doing better than the movies. And it's the director is actually Canadian. I forgot her name. She's a Canadian director and she's been given the, it's not like Mandalorian where there's going to be a new director. She's actually heading the entire series. And I'll remember her name next time. I forgot her name. And what I loved about the first few episodes is that the synergy between the movies, all of them, they felt like one movie with the flashbacks. And I'm like, man, the editing is like just perfect. Right. And you're understanding a story. I'm like, this is what the movies should have been like. Right. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make it feel like there's been this huge gap in waiting for this story. And yeah, the production value, man, it's crazy. You know, even the simple things from the speeder going back from wherever he's working back to the main town. It's like, I'm watching that CG. I'm like, man, they've spent some good money on this, man. It's looking good. I'm not a fan of the bad guy so far, but
That was my biggest gripe is the sister.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that. I didn't like her acting so much.
And there goes Robbie. So it's just me. But no, I think the show's been well done, man. The way they put everything together. And we're back.
Sorry.
Man exceeded his bandwidth for the day. But no, I think overall, they, like, based on the first two episodes, 9 out of 10. Not cinematic. Yeah, like, I'm not saying this is going to change TV watching forever. But a sci-fi show that I'm enjoying, you know, everyone should watch it and enjoy this.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the sister, and you probably mentioned it, but I don't like that whole like angry villain that they keep putting in. You know, it was Kylo Ren and the other.
Yeah.
The thing with Darth Vader is it was quiet. You know, he's scary.
He's systematic.
it was scary, and that one part, like I'm over that of the angry villain, right? So, but I think it's all a segue into him meeting Darth Vader. So I think that's what's going on, that they work for him and it's a segue building up into meeting him in the end. So
I kind of like the fact that the way they wrapped into that, he didn't know that he was still alive. And
he doesn't know that he's alive.
He didn't know he survived. Then he's having like that, oh fuck, what? No way.
Yeah.
And now it's like how he plans for it and how he mentally preps himself.
I'm interested in the story between the sisters and brothers or whatever. What was it called? The Inquisitors, I think it was.
So they're the Inquisitors, but she's a witch. One of the sister witches, I think.
But they're clearly using the Force. So they're just, are they just on the dark side of the Force? Is that, that's my, are they Sith, kind of?
They're Sith,
is that right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you'd be right to call them a Sith. It's basically, they're finding Force wielding children and bring them up into the dark side. Instead of the Jedi Order and to the Sith Order.
I see. Okay.
So.
But the so I mean, on reflection, I'm like, it's cool. You know, they've gone back. I feel like I'm watching something new, even though you know how it's gonna end. Like we all know how it ends,
And I
right? I
mean,
mean
yeah,
the
Star Wars has always been that. You knew how the story goes. They just fill in the world as
yeah,
they
and
go.
that's what I do hope is there's some maybe some what do they call offshoots or some other characters that come out of this series or other storylines or you know other that you don't know how long how far they can go with this, but
I mean,
yeah,
the fact that
man,
Disney
for.
bought this so they could milk the shit out of the franchise
Oh, they're
even
gonna milk
more.
it, but you know at least they're doing a good job, right?
Yeah.
They're not butchering it like DC and DC Comics, right? So,
DC has no idea what they're doing with any of their
they
franchises right
don't.
now. They're like,
But yo,
oh, we have Superman. He's popular. And we have Batman. He's
yeah,
popular.
go Batman, Superman, back to Superman,
But
right?
we don't know
So,
really what to do with any of them. That's
yeah,
DC
they've
weren't able
dropped
to figure it out.
they dropped the ball in that. But
Whereas Marvel made like
so
their
I would
B list
say,
characters better.
I have a question to pose to you. Out of every Star Wars storyline, characters, can you name something that you would like to be seen that hasn't been proposed?
What do you mean? Oh, like in
Like, you
their
know, in the canon of everything, like another series.
like I think they should do a Darth Sidious prelogue. So when he's with,
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking about.
right, like his come up
His
with
or he is the baddest villain
yeah.
in a he's so underrated and his long-standing presence through what eight movies or whatever it was that he's in everything he doesn't die he barely dies at the end as well right like look how they kill the guy and his power yo they should do an origin story on his and him
Yeah.
that'd be awesome
I've
man
read his origin story because it was covered in Darth Pegasus, another novel that I read. I've kind of gone
yeah.
through all these novels. It was a great novel.
Is
Don't
that
talk.
still considered canon though
I
with
don't
the
think it
remember
is. I
Disney?
think that was one of the things that
Okay.
Disney said, we're not going to consider this canon. But they alluded to his master, the Dark
Gladius
Pegasus. Yeah.
Pegasus.
Pe
Okay.
I want to say Pegasus, but I think Pegasus is
Doesn't
a horse thing.
Plagueis?
Whatever,
Whatever.
man. It's been I'm bad with this anyways. They alluded to him in one of the movies when Anakin, he's like, did you know he learned how to use his midichlorians to bring people back to life? So I think doing his prequel and going into like old Sith
Or
like
even like it would be cool like you see this whole series about like what you think is a Jedi and like the last scene he becomes Sith and you're like oh that's pretty cool right like
yeah,
that's
like
the
their
start
eyes
of
just
it
turn red after and
yeah like something like that that's where I thought like the I think yeah they should do something on Sidious because he's man he's the most underrated villain of all time I think right like everyone just says
yeah.
Darth Vader no he's Darth Vader's boss man
Yeah, he's the guy who brought Darth Vader onto this team that Darth Vader eventually
no
killed because he felt light, but
exactly he gets no credit
yeah.
Darth Vader threw him down a hole and this man still came back right like
Yeah.
come on
And this guy, he's supposed to be small and meek, and he killed his own master, who was like one of the craziest Sith Lords ever. I think he deserves his own I think he
and
deserves his own series of just how bad he
yeah for
was.
sure man just his backstory would be
Or
cool I'd
him
watch
just messing shit up. A Breaking Bad version of Star Wars. Darth Sidious Breaking Bad.
that
Oh man.
oh
It's been a long day. Anyways, anything you want to end on or?
No, that's good. It's been a sad day, but yeah, a long one.
It's been
Hopefully
a
next
weird
week.
week, man.
Weird week, man. Weird few weeks. Hopefully June, the month of June, brings some I
Sunlight.
know it's gonna bring some sunshine, but maybe some more positivity into the world.
And yeah, hopefully we're part of that positivity and not just beacons of
Well, wait
negativity
till Randy gets here. He's always gonna ruin it, so
with
I'll wait
the
for him
news.
next week.
All right,
All right.
boys.
Boy,
All right, man.
peace.